It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
This is the Fox News Rundown Extra. I'm Jessica Rosenthal. This week we spoke with Republican Congressional House Whip Tom Emmer before the new GOP-led House voted on things like limiting oil reserve sales and slashing IRS funding. They first had to adopt a rules package, some of the very rules that caused a lot of heartburn in the House the prior week as Congressman Kevin McCarthy went through round after round of voting to become Speaker. And while many things were called rules, Emmer explains some of what got lumped in as a rule was actually part of a separate agreement, and those items wound up in a separate House document for Republican members to view. Emmer says the goal is, of course, to adhere to the agreements, and they will provide context and substance as to how the House operates. But as we all know, rules are rules, and that package was adopted along party lines, 220 to 213, with only one Republican voting against them. We often have to cut interviews down for time during the week, but thought you might like to hear this full interview. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe to the Weekday Rundown podcast if you haven't already. Now, here's House GOP Whip Tom Emmer on the Fox News Rundown Extra.
Been quite a week and a half for the American people and for you guys in Congress. I want to know, because we finally got to a point, right, with these rules changes, they've been voted on. And I just want to know, broadly speaking, in your mind, tangibly, what should the American people expect from these rule changes? What might they see in real life, in real time, and say, oh, you know, that's different? And I imagine you hope they think it's different in a good way.
Well, first off, it hasn't even been a week and a half. Keep in mind, it feels like it's been a week and a half. In some cases, it feels like it's been a month. But this process just started a week ago today, if you can believe it. We started a week ago today to elect the speaker and put the House together. Literally finished it last night with the rules package, at least putting in place what you need to formulate committees or populate committees and actually start doing the business of the House. So I want to clear something up for you and your listeners. The rules package that was voted on last night is almost, it's essentially the same rules package that was voted on weeks ago at our organizing meeting. The only changes were a very, very minor written change to the church-style committee that's going to be created to as part of the Judiciary Committee to look into the weaponization of agencies like the FBI. And then the motion to vacate went from 5-member requirement down to 1. The other thing that you're talking about is a separate discussion agreement amongst members, many of which were not in favor of the speaker originally. But it wasn't really about Kevin McCarthy. For some of them, it was. It was more about the way the House operates. And while they can take credit, and I'm happy that they do, this really is a conference-wide discussion about how we're going to run the House. So what should the American public look for? No more bills. I call them Christmas trees laden with ornaments that are sent to us by the Senate at the last minute. Why do I say that? Because we are enacting things called single subject matter bills will be allowed. That means it's got to be of one subject matter, just like it says. Amendments to that bill have to be germane. And I'll give you an example and then I'll stop. But for instance, we sent a bill last Congress over to the Senate called the Coin Bill. Do you know that that Coin Bill sat there, languished there for weeks and months until the Senate gutted it last August and sent back the Coin Bill with the content being the Inflation Reduction Act? That's not going to happen anymore. If we enforce these rules, the House leadership and members and the Senate leadership are going to be held to a higher standard. And I think one that's going to benefit Americans in general.
So just for my clarity, the rules that you're talking about that were voted on Monday night, you're saying those are the same rules that were agreed upon weeks ago, with the exception of the motion to vacate the chair and the one other item you mentioned, right? Those yes, were the only two add-ons. So when you talk about the sprawling, the ornament legislation, that was already agreed upon weeks ago is what you're saying.
No, I'm not. That is part of – there is a document that was put together that was shared with our conference in total this morning. There were things talked about how we run the House, how we maintain our fiscal conservatism and make sure that we take care of the spending issue that's been going on. But there are also agreements to look at certain bills, whether they be term limits or the southern border. But there was no agreement to, for instance, streamline those bills straight to the floor. They will go through regular order, which is something that hasn't happened in more than 2 years in the House. What does that mean for your listeners? It means it actually goes through a hearing process. Members actually have the ability to make amendments, things like that. It really is both the rules package that was voted on last night and this separate agreement are literally about raising the standard for how we manage ourselves in the House. Again, the one was voted on. The other one is an agreement amongst all of the members and our leadership that this is how we're going to conduct ourselves to make sure that, one, the institution starts to perform the way it was designed to perform, and two, so that the American public that voted to put us here starts to get the results that they expect.
So what in writing can we look at and expect this will reduce spending? Because a lot of Americans care about, right, the trillions of dollars of debt we have. Republicans said going into November, our big focus is going to be reducing spending. What concretely do you think will reduce actual spending moving forward?
Well, I mean, first off, there is a commitment to look at the budget process, the next budget process, starting with FY22, fiscal year 22 is the baseline. Why is that important? Because all of the bloated spending, domestic spending, that was enacted under Nancy Pelosi and Democrats started with the pandemic. And that's where we want to go back to. There was some argument, by the way, made in the public, this was somehow going to affect defense. In fact, the White House tried to spew some lies about how Republicans want to cut defense. Look, the budget is split into two separate things. There's mandatory spending, which, quite frankly, is the thing that we're going to have to look at very closely going forward if we're going to get real results. And there's discretionary spending. And discretionary spending is split essentially into domestic programs and defense. Republicans will look at defense from the standpoint of efficiencies and waste, but we ain't cutting defense. That's not what we're here for. We are going to be looking very closely at these domestic boondoggles, not just the money that's been bloated in the last 4 years, but it's two in particular, but it's also appropriations that have been made over the years that just keep being they haven't been reauthorized.
They're like automatic, right? It's like automatically exactly. Just right.
You okay. Got it.
Hey, it's Clay Travis. Join me for Outkick the Show as we dive deep into a mix of topics. New episodes available Monday to Friday on your favorite podcast platform and watch directly on outkick.com/watch.
What would you say to your colleague, Texas Congressman Tony Gonzalez, the lone Republican to vote no? He cited concerns over cuts to defense spending. You're saying you just said we ain't cutting defense spending, but what would you say to people maybe who are Republicans who do have concerns that there might be some chopping in that area?
Well, take a look. There were 220 of the 221 members that were here last night voted for the rules package. Tony was the only one who didn't. I have a lot of respect for Tony. I think what happened to Tony was he got caught up in the confusion over what was actually in the rules package and what was not in the rules package. This whole aspirational goal of using the fiscal year 22 baseline budget number is not in the rules package. So I think with a little bit more time, there was a lot of misinformation. And let's face it, the reason you and I are having this conversation is because even your listeners are confused as to what we voted on. The other thing I will tell you is there's a very interesting approach that we're going to see how it works. But as these appropriations bills are put out starting in May, my understanding is we're going to be embedding language, and it remains to be seen, but my understanding is we'll embed language that says that as of the day that expires, there is a continuing resolution that will carry that bill for X number of days, with a 1% cut or whatever the cut is they're talking about. And it will continue that way every 90 days with another percent cut until Congress gets its job done and actually does a budget and reauthorizes the darn bill. But these are things that actually will have an impact on the ultimate spending number. More importantly, they'll give more transparency to the American public so they can see what we're doing, so they don't have to go search, oh, my goodness, where is this Inflation Reduction Act? How do you ever find it when it's under a heading of a coin bill, right? So I think it's going to give us better results, not just in the outcome, the final product, but more importantly on how we run the House and how we're transparent for the American public.
Okay, just two more before I let you go, briefly. I'm still a little bit confused about what all of this means for our debt limit, extending it, pushing it off. You just mentioned continuing resolutions. We heard that phrase CR, right, a lot with the debt limit. What should we expect? When does that come back up again? I understand that things could get even more tense the next time we have to talk about extending or raising the debt limit.
Well, that's why you need to be working on these things now. First off, they're two separate things. When I was talking about ACR, I shouldn't have. I hate those terms. it's a continuing resolution. You know, the House has to pass 12 appropriations bills through the House, through the Senate, and across the president's desk by midnight on September 30th every year. It hasn't happened since the late 90s. Instead of doing what we're supposed to do, Congress up till now continues to sign a continuing resolution and extending it till they can get some big global deal. Where, guess what? The American public gets a whole bunch of stuff that they don't need and we can't afford. We got to get this place working the way it's intended to work. That's what these, not only the rules package, but the other agreements are to make sure that that happens. The debt limit that you're talking about, right now that's scheduled to come up again in September. We're going to start talks early about how do we actually make a difference on the debt? How do we bend the curve so that when we do something on the debt limit, we can go home and say, look what we did. We're actually going to make a difference, not just for us today, but more importantly, for generations to come. Because right now, all we're doing is participating in generational theft by not solving this.
Finally, term limits. We talked about it very briefly a few minutes ago. How does that come up? When does that come up? And does it even go anywhere? Would the Senate approve something that would enact term limits?
Well, the way I look at it is, one, the agreement is that the term limits bill, and I think it's Ralph Norman from South Carolina, yeah. It's his bill. It will go through regular order, which means it'll go to the appropriate committees. It'll have the appropriate hearings. But I've already warned him, if we're going to go forward with a term limits bill for members, then he's going to accept my amendment to term limit every bureaucrat in the executive branch at the same time. Because you can't have bureaucrats hanging around for decades while you're ushering members out the door, because they'll just drag their feet. So if we're going to term limit, we're going to term limit all of government. And let's keep flushing this place out and bringing new blood on a regular basis. But it's got to go through regular order, and we'll see where that leads us. We won't even know the answer to the question with the Senate until we see what comes out the other end of the committee process.
House Republican Whip Tom Emmer, thank you so much for joining us.
Appreciate the time.
You've been listening to the Fox News Rundown. And now, stay up to date by subscribing to this podcast at foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen ad-free on Fox News Podcasts Plus on Apple Podcasts. And Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on Amazon Music. And for up-to-the-minute news, go to foxnews.com. Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. From the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.